This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on strengthening India's financial sector, structural reforms and economic growth prospects. The participants are Santosh Tiwari, economic analyst, and Lalima Anija Dang, anchor.
A recent S&P Global report says that Indian banks are all set for continued resilience amid strong economic growth. Mr. Santosh Tiwari, welcome Santosh Ji to Akashvani studio.
Thank you.
Well, as the fifth largest economy of the world, we have surpassed UK, and this should not spring any surprise. Do you think it's all driven by structural improvements, very deliberate, very focused reforms from the government side?
Absolutely, because if you see the reforms from the government side and also what RBI has done, especially in last 5-6 years or maybe over a decade, the banking sector has been strengthened, especially in the domain where it was needed the most, that is regulatory and governance. And what S&P has said today is no surprise, because what RBI has been doing over the years has started yielding results. So there are no shocks per se, which you saw in previous years, and the way weak loans have been handled, especially through the mechanism which RBI has brought in 2016, IBC, Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. In last few years, there is a lot of synergy between the government at the center and RBI,
which wasn't seen very often earlier. Can I say that?
Per se, RBI looks after inflation control and government looks after growth. So role-wise, there has to be some difference of opinion. If that difference of opinion is beyond a limit, then obviously you see and you have seen some, you know, whatever you have seen in the past. But there could be a healthy understanding between the two institutions because both are working for the country's growth.
Absolutely.
So in last few years, I would say that the coordination between growth and inflation control, which means that the coordination between the Economic Affairs Department or the Finance Ministry and RBI, that has been of much better quality in the last few years. And that is also a reason why you see this kind of a stability in the banking system, in the financial system. Apart from the efforts that has been brought in by RBI, in terms of strengthening regulatory and governance system in banks and overall inflation control, monetary policy mechanism, etc., and running with the changes that were required in the system. So these are things, you know, which have led to the situation where S&Ps of this world, they are saying that India's banking system and the financial system looks very resilient.
When this government took over in 2014, NPAs were huge. But today, weak loans are projected to decline to around 3.0% of gross loans by March 2025. Your comment?
So it's a conscious decision by the government. Whatever efforts were required from the government side and whatever were required from the RBI side, the RBI is the regulator in the banking system, and the decision to bring in IBC also, a step-by-step approach to bring in regulatory control, or if not per se we say control, at least regulatory efficacy and improvement in governance of banks. All those things have been brought in step-by-step, because the kind of NPA issues and NPA challenges that we saw in previous decades, that was hampering banking system and also our macroeconomic situation in a way. That situation needed to be corrected. RBI and government have worked together to improve two things, which S&P report is also saying. It is easier said, but when you have to do it, it becomes very, very tough and challenging. To improve oversight, regulatory control, because it comes with a cost. And governance in the banks, in the entities which are giving loans to entities in an economy which is a growing economy. Yeah. So you have to give loans, and then you have to keep checks and balances and oversight mechanism, regulation, checks and balances in terms of whom you are giving loan and what is the possibility of getting that loan returned in a timely manner. All those things become very, very challenging. And these were challenging in previous years. But RBI and the government together, they have shown that if you have a robust regulatory mechanism, if you have a robust governance mechanism, the needs of a growing economy could be tackled in a much resilient and much better manner. This is what is being reflected in last few years in the banking and the financial system in India.
Yes, because earlier the loans were being given to those who were well off. But now we are also talking about mudra loans. We are also talking at the bottom of the pyramid. They're also taking advantage of the government schemes. And it's still a healthy banking system. We've had some bad stories from the past about big people who took loans and went away. But those, the bottom of the pyramid person who takes loans is more conscious of the fact that he has to pay back.
That's one aspect. You know, it has been seen that the loans at the bottom of the pyramid and at the lower level, they have better chances of getting returned and in a timely manner. There is another thing which has happened in this country, and especially in the banking system and in the public delivery system. That is digitization. So digitization has improved the whole loan delivery system, banking system, financial system, oversight system, regulatory system, and everything across the board. Now you can easily monitor loans, or you can easily scan through different aspects of providing a loan in a digitized manner, which is not time consuming and which is very, very transparent and which is easy to do. There are less and less of paperwork today, which has reduced the kind of control that banking officials had in terms of providing loans. Now, digitization has made everything transparent. So if you are not giving a loan to someone or giving a loan to someone, it is digitally recorded. If it is getting paid or if it is not getting paid, you have a strong regulatory and oversight mechanism, regulatory and governance mechanism. So those regulatory and governance mechanism will immediately come into force. This kind of systematic process-driven work was not there. And it takes time to have this kind of system developed. But again, coming back to the same point that government and RBI together, they have worked hard, the officials have worked hard. And now you have a resilient system, banking and financial system, where A, to begin with, you can have better assessment mechanism before giving a loan. You can have better checks and balances mechanism once you have given the loan. And you can have better oversight and regulatory mechanism if somebody is willfully defaulting or doing something which should be taken to the task or which could be taken to the legal system. So across the board, 360 degree digitization has ensured that you have checks and balances and regulatory mechanism in place, which helps government and RBI to ensure that you have a strong financial regulatory system.
We always say that this government has a long-term vision. So the seeds of tightening the loose ends in the financial system, which were sown many years ago in 2014, or let's say 2015 onwards, they are now bearing fruits, and the fruits are for everyone to see. Santoshi, how much credit do you give to, by and large, healthy corporate balance sheets and improved risk management?
That's something which has played a great role. The moment in the regulatory system, whether it is company affairs, whether it is banking system, whether it is any other area, whether it is ease of doing business, whether it is giving land to the companies which are taking loans or anything. When your ease of doing business and regulatory control and oversight mechanism, that becomes transparent and is not guided by the decisions of a person or someone, you know, who is there in power. And things are happening in a transparent manner, then everything falls in place. Because if you take a decision which is not working well and you cannot justify your decision on the basis of business decision, then obviously you will be pulled up. And you would have seen that in last few years, wherever decisions have been taken, those decisions, if they were not justified or they erred on the side of having a faulty decision intentionally, or maybe in a way taking the decisions without taking proper checks and balances into account, then people have suffered. Now, those steps and those incidences have proved two things. One, before anybody goes and does something wrong or takes benefit of certain laws, rules, regulations and does something which is against banking and financial system's strength and efforts that have been made in last few years, obviously there are transparent mechanisms which could show that somebody is doing that. That is one. B, what it has ensured that on the other side also, which we were talking about, the corporate balance sheets, they are getting strengthened because they know that there are strong regulatory and governance mechanism, checks and balances at the level of RBI, at the level of Ministry of Corporate Affairs, at the level of tax department, at the level of state governments, everywhere, you know, digitization and transparency. This has brought to the table something which has made intentional, you know, efforts to take benefit from the public policy system or the governance system extremely difficult. And that is the credit which goes to the overall governance mechanism, government, RBI, state governments, officials, institutions, regulators, everybody. And this is one strong message that the Indian ecosystem has given to the whole world, that along with digitization, what we have done, that we have strengthened regulatory mechanisms in across the board in the financial system, whether it is insurance, whether it is stock market, whether it is RBI, everywhere. regulatory and governance mechanism have been strengthened like anything. And that is bringing in resilience in the banking and the financial system.
We also see a lot of sincerity on the part of the government, like we had the GST implementation meetings after meetings and continuously correcting what they felt was wrong. And so there is a sincerity on the part of the government to tighten loose ends, to see where if there's any discomfort to the ordinary taxpayer. And we are trying to improve the taxation system. What about the rapid growth of insecured personal loans? Can they be of any risk?
You have to see that India is one of the fastest growing economies, and you have a young population today, which is very, very ambitious, aspirational. And everybody from rural areas to urban areas, you know, every young person or everybody wants to have something of his or her own, grow his or her financial power, capacities and all those things. So that is why the personal loan ecosystem or the personal loan part is growing. It will become a major challenge. Or I will say that it is a test of our regulatory and oversight and regulatory and governance mechanism. If you keep this growth to a limit where it is not going out of hand, then you will serve a purpose of the aspirations of meeting the aspirations of this population, which has become very aspirational, and also keep a check on, you know, this particular part going haywire or going here, there. So this is a test more than a concern. You know, I would say that this is a test which obviously RBI and banks, they are aware of. This has been mentioned number of times. And up till now, it doesn't seem to be a major concern, but concerns have been raised. So I am sure that, you know, the way other things have been tackled, RBI and banks are aware of the whole challenge, and they will be able to utilize the regulatory and governance mechanism that are there in place and will keep this in check.
I'm glad you mentioned the word aspiration, because the new India that we see now, aspiration has positive connotation. Many, many years ago, in the typically socialist India, aspiration did not have such a positive connotation. You know, and so now to meet the aspirations of the common man, we have all this system in place. Now, moving on, the deposit growth may lag potentially, affecting credit to deposit ratios. Is that also a risk? Because, Santoshi, banks want more deposits, but they don't want to lower deposit interest, because there is a section of people, the millennials, as we call them, who have already made a kind of shift from the banking to the stocks. And banks would certainly like to hold on to the people who are with them, especially senior citizens who still have a lot of faith in the banking sector. It's not about faith. It's also about an old habit that you keep FDs in the bank. Is that a tightrope walk for the bank? Because the impression is they will not lower the interest rate. So where do you see this, the banks going in this scenario?
This is another good challenge which is there in an economy of India type. Because people want to have avenues where they can get better returns. FDs give you a particular amount of return, but there are avenues like stock markets. There are other avenues which give them better returns. There are some people, you know, who want to hold on to money, who want to spend. So again, if you have an economy and if you have a populace of the kind India has today, then these are healthy challenges which the banking system has to face and will have to counter and overcome. Now, banks fixing FD rates are business decisions. Those business decisions banks will have to take based on their business and where they want to take their business to. But these kind of challenges will come and are there on the table. It has been talked about that people are not going to banks to do FDs. And obviously, if banks do not have money, they will not be able to lend in a way they have to.
Exactly.
Then it creates a problem. So then banks have to find a solution to bring back these people. Because you cannot stop someone to spend money where they want. If they do not want to keep their money in banks, then it is their call and they will keep it. So the business will have to be structured, restructured in a manner by banks so that they can attract these guys again back to them. For overall economy, I would say that these are signs of positive movement, and they have to be tackled in a positive way.
The banking sector is well capitalized, reflecting improved risk absorption, while NBFC sector and urban cooperative banks also show progress.
NBFC and urban cooperative banks, these are two areas where RBI is working in such a good manner that they are bringing in regulations, they are bringing in rules which are required so that risk elements are taken care of. So that's why we were discussing that the way RBI and government together have brought in checks and balances, regulation, oversight. Again, I would say that, you know, regulations and governance, they bring with them enhanced cost. But if they are coming with added financial security, then obviously people will be more than ready to take that cost. So that's what is happening. You mentioned NBFC, you mentioned urban cooperative banks. These are all windows, you know, which will add to our financial resilience and will add power to the banking system to have a broad-based kind of an operation which will help Indian economy.
Thank you, Santosh Tiwariji, for talking to us and giving us your views and reviews.
Thank you, Lalwa.
You were listening to a discussion on strengthening India's financial sector, structural reforms and economic growth prospects. The participants were Santosh Tiwari, economic analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.